بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من يضمن لي ما بين لحييه وما بين فخذيه أضمن له الجنة. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: In this narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam summarized the era that we will find ourselves in and the two aspects from which the shaitani world will make an attack upon me and upon you. And in the same way, he explained also the many things which we think will be the attack, which will not be the attack. It's like a man who's in a battlefield and he thinks the enemy are shooting from that side. Because his entire attention is that side, where the enemy really are shooting from, he doesn't realize. In this very short narration, he explained where the shots are coming from and what you have to do. And what you don't have to worry about too much, because the shot is not coming from there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that, I ask you to guarantee me two things. He said, you guarantee me what is between your jaws, meaning the tongue. And you guarantee me what is between your private parts. Between your thighs, meaning your private parts. You give me the guarantee of those two. In between these two, there will be a lot of things which we normally worry about. He said, I only ask for the guarantee of these two things. And I guarantee you, you are walking into paradise. What were the two attacks? And what was the thing we normally going to be worried about? So one is, we entered an era which was called the era of atheism, the era of modernism, the era of westernism. The era of where religion means zero. It was attacked, it was stabbed. There was something called religion in the Christian world, it no longer exists. After they had destroyed the church completely, the next target was Islam. So every Muslim had to be attacked. Many a time a youngster will say, the times are very hard. On the battlefield, no battle has ever been easy. You never see a soldier coming out and he says, hey, today was a good day. A battle is a battle. Every day you have to expect a bomb falling. It can fall while you're sleeping, it can fall while you're awake. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will see that time where iman will be an issue of day and night. He can be in the best of houses with the best of teachers. He can lose it in one night, he can get it in one night. One person in another country, who no one reached him to give dawat, in an environment surrounded by atheists, that person stands up and he says, I'm reading the kalima. The whole family is against him. He became a believer. And at that same minute, another person surrounded by Muslims, surrounded by alims, scholars, pious people, he's known by everyone in the town. And suddenly that night that boy says, I don't want to be a Muslim. He said, you will see that era. Where one will just get it and one will just leave it. During that era, when the religion was going to be attacked, how would you attack religion? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his lifetime had examples in front of him, through which he explained what is the attack, what's not the attack. When the world of university was created, when the world of matric was created, when the world of one system of schooling was created, the shaitani world, western world, they were not interested in educating me and educating you. Education was the last thing on their mind. When the Red Cross was created, they were not interested at all in helping someone who's in need. Because they are the very people who are the ones who make the war before they go in to say, I need to help you. Helping was the last thing in the mind, that in the name of Red Cross, that we will come and help you, aid you. The maqsad was nothing but we want to reward you of your religion. Education from the Western circle was never education. Otherwise, when the Khilafat fell, before that in the Muslim world, education was on its heights. Sciences, every science was being taught. Whatever they say we have advanced in this, the advancements had already been made. It had nothing to do with I want to educate you. It had to do with I want to rape you. But in such a manner that your whole life you will thank me that I raped you. When Mustafa Kemal did what he did in his era of Turkey, he raped the people of Turkey of their religion in such a manner that until recent time you would find a person even saying that because of him, Quran left us. The Arabic language left us. Religion left us. Alcohol came to us. Clothing left us. They say all of that. And then you'll ask that man, so how was Mustafa Kemal? And the man will say he was a good man. After accepting that he raped me, he say, but he was a good man. Education came to do the same. It was going to rob me of my iman. It was going to change my concept of life. It was going to make my son a monster. But at the end of the year, I was going to go and pay the system the thanks for whatever you did. Thanks. A system was created where the ulama, where the scholar, where the faqih, where the alim, he'll open up a madrasa. His only and only intention for that madrasa is, I want to save the iman of your child, and I want to prevent him becoming a monster. At the end of the day, the most he'll say to that father, that can you just pay for my basic fee? And the father will look at that and say, you want 50 rand? Are you mad or what? When the man came to say, I want to save you, that man was going to be told, leave me. And when that environment was created, we want to destroy you, there the man said, I want to pay you. That environment. When that person entered that environment from day one, whether in the name of education they started it, but it was never education. With language, with maths, with geography, with science, they were going to teach you one thing. That the day you graduate as a free man. No one must hold you. No wife must be held by a husband. No husband must be held by a wife. There must be no such thing as my father-in-law said this. How dare he say something to me? He doesn't know who I am. Forget my father-in-law, my father. Forget my father, the man I respected, my ustad. Say, don't you dare interfere with my life. Forget the ustad, forget the father, forget the father-in-law. It was going to come to a time where I was going to say that, oh Islam, you stay in the masjid, don't come interfere with my life. Stay out of my life. And a man would then say, oh Allah, why? Something went wrong in his life. Suddenly he said, why you do this to me? But what brought his mind to say a sentence? That I'm angry with you. What made him? He went through a system that slowly, slowly poison was fed. That poison inside him made him angry. It made him angry with his own friends, with his own parents. In his life, if he had a marriage problem, he never blamed himself. He'll blame maybe his father or his grandfather. They would teach him in the university, they would teach him in psychology, that your problems was created by somebody else, it's not your problem. So if that person hit his wife, he'd say, you can't blame me. My grandfather slapped my grandmother in front of me. I saw it when I was just 3 years old. Because he slapped her, I had to one day slap my wife. I had nothing wrong with me. People did it. Which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in the Quran. And Quran was that miracle which would explain everything. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى Allah Tabarakullah says, "Oh Allah's Nabi, we found you as an orphan. We found you as a person who was poor. We found you lost. But the man who was lost, we put you on the path. We found you with no wealth, we gave you enough wealth. We found you as an orphan, we gave you a whole family." Which meant having a hard beginning doesn't mean you can't become a hero of the time. If you lost your father when you were young, doesn't mean that's your excuse to go into drugs. If you saw poverty when you were young, doesn't mean you must be angry with the world. Quran explained it got nothing to do, it's you. It's how you make yourself or you break yourself. Don't blame anybody else but you. And the last to blame is the Zat of Almighty Allah. Because to say, "Oh Allah, why you did this to me?" That sentence holds no weight. But that university system was going to create in the mind of the person. You will have to blame people for your problems. It's not your problem. Even if it means blaming Almighty Allah. Even if it means. So there will be so much anger, so much feeling, so much thoughts, so much doubts. So the Sahabi radiallahu anhu came to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, "I get doubts. I get filthy doubts, dirty doubts." He said, "I get such doubts that if I have to mention it to you," he said, "that's beyond me. I'd rather be burnt. But I can't bring it on my tongue, what I'm caught inside." He would have thought that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would become upset with him. And he said, "In my era you getting doubts like this, what will happen in the future?" Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not get angry. He became happy. And he said to my Sahaba, "Find these doubts. Why the doubt is within me? Min sharril waswas," is what we read in Quran. Min sharril waswas. "Oh Allah, I ask your protection from that evil who just blows." What do you think he blows? If that vacuum cleaner doesn't make a sound, it's not a vacuum cleaner anymore. It's created to blow. Shaitan is not a blower. Waswas means he continuously blows. So as he blows, where is he going to blow? He's going to blow within me. He's going to blow such dirty, filthy thoughts. You think Shaitan ever blows nice thoughts? He will blow such thoughts that I can go in sajda, and in sajda I can think bad of Almighty Allah. In sajda. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Do my Sahaba find such thoughts?" And then he got happy. And then he said, "This is Iman, this is Iman, this is Iman." What he meant by "this is Iman" is, what's making you upset about your thought? Why are you upset? You will only be upset if you are a believer and you're not happy, that's what's in you. That first part of the narration now, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's son who was Ibrahim radiallahu anhu passed away in his hands. Or before passing away, but he was in the throes of passing away. So he carried him in the hand, and natural what will happen? You'll cry. When you will see certain things that break the heart, you have to cry. When you will see certain things in the newspapers, which you're not supposed to look at, but we look. When you will see the Muslim Ummah being bled, when you will see blood of a young child, then sometimes inside you will feel anger. That, "Oh Allah, we are your Ummah. How are you letting this happen to us?" When you will see it so much in another land and it makes that anger, may Allah save us all. But imagine one day we reach home and we find in our house a butchery had taken place. And we find the people we were close to, they have been cut. What has happened in Syria, if that finishes us up and puts us in doubts and puts us in anger, where a woman saw her husband and the children cut into pieces, put in a pot and they started boiling. If we don't even know that family and it finished me, may Allah save us all, but what will happen if one day I have to go home and something like that or similar or far from that, but a problem fell in my household? Immediately the anger within me will say, "But I read my salah. But after I read my salah, you do this to me." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I only ask you to guarantee me your tongue. And that was a unique lesson. That the child was in his hand and he cried. So a sahabi radiallahu anhu said, O Allah's Nabi, you cry. Meaning you are the highest on the levels of, O Allah, whatever you do, I'm happy with it. How can you cry? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the tear is from the inside. It's feelings. I'm not in control of it. He said, but my tongue will never say that which makes my Allah angry. My tongue won't say it. The lesson he gave in the seer is, you will find an era where you will not be able to control inside thoughts, inside emotions, inside feelings. You will find an era where you will get gripped with ishq, love. You will enter a school, in school you say, I got a crush for the teacher. She's no longer my English teacher, she's my teacher. At night I think about her. In the bathroom I think about her. She's my teacher. She's teaching English, but for you it got nothing to do with the language, it got to do with her. So you got a crush. In the beginning you're feeling shy. The girl got a crush. She got a crush on an old man, young man. An old grandfather got a crush on someone who's 20, 30 years younger than him. At that time. Then came the dirtier era. Where sometimes a family member will get a crush for someone who he can never marry. A man will have a feeling for his niece. The era came that a brother started getting feelings for his sister. And the era came where fathers started getting feelings for their daughters. And none of this is hidden from any of us. None of it. The era had to come. At that era, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the second sentence, guarantee me what's between your thighs. Meaning guarantee me that the private part, you will not use it where it can go. As for the inside feelings, the inside emotions, the inside desires, he said, I'm not asking you regarding that. I'm not going to ask you, was your inside mind clean? I'm not going to ask you, did you always have good thoughts? Your inside, forget about it. He said, you guarantee me two things. The tongue will never say what Allah doesn't like. So I'm in love with that girl. I want to send a message. I want to express my love. Every day it troubles me. But my Allah's Nabi said, you have to guarantee me what's in your control, you don't touch. That finger is in my control. I won't say yes. I won't say follow me. I'll press delete, even if I don't want to delete it. I don't want to. The boy told that girl that I spoke to my ustad, he said, is that right what I'm doing? So this is like the last talk. So 3 days later I met him. So he said, I did it. So I said, so now it's over. He said, well, I can't sleep now. I can't sleep. Why? Because now suddenly I'm finished. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ahmad Pratabgari Rahimullah was a saint of his era. Our Hazrat Shah Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahimullah, one of his sheikhs was him. One poem that he said, I forgot the Urdu of it, but what a meaning it had. He said, that person, O Allah, who never bleed for you. That person, O Allah, who never bleed for you. Perhaps he might find Jannah also. But he will never be your basmal. Basmal means that chicken where someone is cutting it. And before he cuts completely, the chicken jumps out. So it's already cut and blood is coming out. And now the chicken is going all over. No one wants to be that chicken. But in the field of the love of Almighty Allah, every sahabi wanted to be that one who would say, O Allah, let my body be cut in pieces for you. They enjoyed bleeding for Allah. فَمِنُهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَى They would say, O Allah, I missed the last battle, don't let me miss the next one. When the battle came, the intention in the battle wasn't I must win and come out alive. When they entered the battle, two sahaba lifted up their hands. Each one said, tomorrow is the battle. I will make a dua, you say Ameen. You will make a dua, I'll say Ameen. The one Sahabi radiallahu anhu said, oh Allah, let a mighty enemy come in front of me. It was not me and you that, oh Allah, let problems never come to me. Oh Allah, let the world come to me, let business come to me, let goodness come to me. For them it was, oh Allah, let the difficulty come. Mighty enemy. Why? Because for them the thrill was that, oh Allah, I want to show you that I'm your slave. Give me a chance to prove it. It's beyond what we can do. We mustn't ask for it. But everyone is going to walk on this, that you have to be happy to prove it. I must be happy to bleed. You must be happy to bleed. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا Allah Ta'ala said, you will be holding for me. Make that effort for me. He said, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا I'll open up all your doors. But don't make that effort so a door can open. Make the effort because Allah, I want to prove that I am yours. So the Sahabi radiallahu anhu said, tomorrow let the enemy be mighty. Let him come, let the carry on battle, carry on, carry on, carry on. Finally, oh Allah, let me get the upper hand. The other said, Ameen. Then the turn of the second game, he said, oh Allah, let a mighty enemy come. Let the fight carry on. Oh Allah, but in the ending, let him get the upper hand over me. And let him cut my body. And let it be made into pieces, oh Allah, so with those pieces I can show that is this the proof that I really loved you, oh Allah. The narrator was the one who said Ameen to that dua. He said the next day as we made the dua, it happened. He says, Wallah, his dua was much better than my dua. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ Among them there are those who made that promise and they fulfilled it. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ Among them there are those waiting for the chance. That basmal means the chicken that is moving and it's half dead and half alive. Mawlana Muhammad Ahmad Tartabghari rahimullah said, oh Allah, that one who doesn't bleed for you, he might become a jannati. But the enjoyment of being that basmal for you, he'll never get. For them to be having great burning insights, great passion, great desire, and like a volcano, but you're saying you're not allowed to come out, was a thrill. In today's time, we don't want that. We don't want any inner doubts, any inner thought, any inner feeling. And as soon as the feeling comes, we give vent to it either with the tongue or with the private part. Allah's Nabi ﷺ said, I only ask you for two things. What your inside feeling is, what your inside desire is. You got ishq, you like a certain girl, you like a lot. Perhaps you like a certain boy also. The Western world first they said homosexuality is madness. That was also wrong. Then they said it's natural. That was also wrong. Only Islam spoke the truth. That feelings comes from the blow of shaitan. If shaitan shoots the arrow at a pretty young girl, it will go. You can fall in love with your child also. When shaitan shoots the arrow hits. If shaitan shoots it on a boy and it hits another boy, suddenly he'll have feelings for another boy. Islam never denied it. Because Islam said waswas is filthy and he shoots the arrows in the most filthiest of places. But Islam said that what's on your inside doesn't demand you give vent on the outside. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the tongue will never say, oh Allah, that which makes you angry. The tongue won't. The finger must not. The private part must not. Man ashika Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a man is gripped with intense love. That intense love he'll never have for his wife. He has for his wife before he married her. After he marries her, he gets intense love for anyone besides his wife. Intense love. A time comes where he even wishes, I hope my wife can pass away in a car accident. Then maybe that one will marry me. Thoughts go through everyone. Where man gets those thoughts, women also get those thoughts. No one is free. Where the non-alim gets the thought, the alim also gets the thought. So the person will write, I don't longer have any feeling for my husband. I act when he's with me that I'm happy, I'm not happy. He says, but there's another man I got a lot of feelings for. Just when he comes, he sometimes comes for a function. In fact, I know it's not right, but he's just so good. He's just so good. And the man will say the same, that I know she's a married woman, but her husband doesn't treat her nicely. I treat her nicely. That feeling. Is there anything wrong with that feeling? So the world will say, terrible feelings you got. Because the world is not true. When you got terrible feelings and someone says, hey, you terrible you. So the man who's told you terrible, what he'll go and do? Can the terrible feelings come out? Either he'll commit suicide. Or you will say, to hell with the world, if I got the feelings, it means I'm bad. If I'm bad, I'm not supposed to be in the masjid here, I must be outside. I must go do what I want. Because my father said to me, you mad you. My mother said to me, are you crazy? And I fell in love with the girl next door, I'll go and say, mommy, I like the girl. She's a Christian girl, the mother will say, are you mad? I say, okay, I'm mad. So if I'm mad, let me become a Christian also. I want her. Islam was not going to say, are you mad? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, does my sahaba find that? Filthy, dirty thoughts. But then he said, what you have to do is control. You will have to bleed. You will have to hold. You got only one race and that race is till death. He said, guarantee me that your tongue will never say that which makes Allah angry. And guarantee me the private part will not do that which makes Allah angry. And inside whatever your feelings are, whatever your emotions are, whatever your desires are, let it stay in the inside. You just control your outside. Every time you feel, you're not going to masturbate. Every time you got a feeling, you're not going to go to a club. Every time you got a feeling, you can't go on the side of the road, tell one woman, jump in. Because every feeling of mine doesn't want me to do what I do. But every feeling of mine comes because my Allah is saying, oh my servant, this is your battlefield now. Are you ready to walk? So when the first bomb falls, I don't turn and run out of the battlefield. I say, oh Allah, I came to die. I came to die. The man who ran out of the battlefield, he also died. But he never died in the battlefield of love. Died. Me and you are also going to die. We're all going to die. But Mubarak to that individual who can die in the love of Allah. Man ashika, gripped with love. Thumma katama, then he holds, he controls, he conceals, he doesn't show. I love that girl, I loved her, I loved her, I loved her. Then she got married, when she got married it broke me. I still love her, I got feelings for her. But not once did I ever send a message. Then her children came to my madrasa, that finished me more, I'm teaching them now. I wanted to marry his mother. How could she do this to me? Every day I look at him, it troubles me. That feeling, any feeling, control, control. Thumma katama. So filthy the feeling is that I feel, oh Allah, if I die and this thing is in me, when I meet you, how will I meet you? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, thumma mata. That feelings become so severe, he dies in that. He would have thought he'll stand up in front of Allah and Allah will say, what kind of filthy person you are? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَهُوَ الشَّهِيدٌ. In the court of Allah is a martyr. He will be asked, what prevented you giving vent to your feeling? He will say, only one thing that you said no. That's all. I was hungry, very hungry, very hungry. When I was keeping roza, I knew after 6 o'clock I can eat. In this roza, oh Allah, I couldn't eat. It could be perhaps I will have to fast till I die. Because I don't know when the feeling will come out. It was not a fast of Ramadan that I know 6 o'clock on the dot, eat what you want. This was a fast that would make me cry because I had to fast in the day, I had to fast in the night. And when I was fasting during Ramadan, the food wasn't coming to me. But in this fast, oh Allah, the food was coming to me. The picture came to me, the girl came to me, the opportunity came to me. There was nothing stopping me, one button, just one button. Oh Allah, that fast that I had to go through was not a fast of Ramadan. It was a fast on the battlefield. Mubarak to that individual who loves to die for Allah. He loves to die. That I have been created, oh Allah, to die, I rather die in the field of your love. The bomb falls, I'm still walking. If it hit me, I'm gone. And if it missed me, I'm not going to run out. I'll walk next step also. Those people who walk this path, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا الَّذِينَ اخْتَارُوا الْمَشَقَّةَ. The tafsir of وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا means those people who chose to sacrifice their desires in the happiness of Allah. Chose is the opposite of forced. That Allah never forced me and He never forced you. The door of Iman was left open and the door of Kufr was also left open. And I was told, maybe your father will force you. My father will force. Don't you dare leave Iman. But Almighty Allah did not force anyone. Almighty Allah left the two doors open and He said, you walk. الَّذِينَ اخْتَارُ الْمَشَقَّةِ. Those people who said, oh Allah, we will sacrifice our desires for you. We walking in that door. That is وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا. Happily I walked it, oh Allah. Although I knew there, it's not an easy walk. That was a thrilling walk. That in that walk was open freedom. There were girls, there was drugs, there was happiness. There was, don't tell me what to do. And on that walk there was commands. There was mashaqqat, there was difficulty. There was your every act is governed, your every food is governed, your every look is governed, your every wink is governed. On that road there were women by the thousands on that road. There's supposed to be four wives on that road, but we got knocked, only one wife got left on that road. Even the three went away. On that road, you just had to walk. Just to look down. But why? Why I walked it? Why I walked it? If I say my father forced me to be a believer, then that Iman in the eyes of Almighty Allah might not be accepted. I chose it, O Allah. Even if it's difficult, but I chose that road. Because I know for me that's the only road. So I walked. Mashaqqata means there was a thorn there. So my leg touched the thorn. It never wanted to touch the thorn. I got pricked. When I got pricked, the only thing is I was told, you guarantee me your tongue will never say, oh Allah, why you pricked me? I can say, ah, also no problem. I can say, ah. I can say, it's hard. No problem. But the tongue must not say that which makes Allah upset with me. What a road it is. And then the desires, one was dirty, filthy thoughts, but I carried on saying, La ilaha illallah. My insight told me there is no creator. My tongue said there is a creator. My insight said, what's the proof of it? My tongue said, La ilaha illallah. My insight said to me, if Allah is there, then why the Muslims are suffering? My tongue said, La ilaha illallah. Whatever my insight said, my tongue only said, La ilaha illallah. Why? My tongue will not say, oh Allah, that which makes you angry. Then came my desires. My desire says, I want her. My private part said, no. My tongue said, shh, keep quiet. My inside said, leave this one and take that one. Send a message. Let's have a meeting one night. Shaitan put it in my mind, you only need to smile at her. And your inside burn will go away. You only need to hold her. You only need one night with her. A man says, I'm trying to read Salah, trying to read Salah, I can't get concentration. Finally I understand, if I just go and masturbate, then all that feeling will come out, then I'll read two rakats properly. That man is told, burn with that feeling. That two rakats you are reading with a million thoughts of dirt is more blessed for you than 1,000 rakats without the dirty thoughts. Because in the love of Allah, I'm ready to put my leg on the thorn also. But oh Allah, you are my Allah. I will not do that which makes you angry. Just carry on. Carry on. وَالَّذِينَ اخْتَارُوا الْمَشَقَّةِ Those people who chose difficulty in the love of Allah. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا Almighty Allah says, I promise you my roads are going to open up for them. Things are going to happen. Things are going to happen when? But everyone says when? So a time will come when it will happen. But why will we do it? We're not doing it till it starts opening the doors. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Forget the doors that will open. Almighty Allah says, from that point I'm with you. From that point I'm with you. It's you and me. That's what we created for. To develop such an intense love for our Allah that my tongue and my private part, he says, I have put it under guarantee, O Allah's Nabi, I will reach you in this, that these two did not cheat, and you promised me my door of paradise is open. Inside what's inside, I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to argue with it. I'm not going to try and solve it. I'm not going to take it out. If it burns, let it burn. If it needs a volcano to take place, I'll erupt also. Even if I have to die in it, I'll die in it. But my tongue and my private part will never do, oh Allah, that which makes you angry. May Allah Tabarakallah bless me with this, bless you with this. This is the highest levels of sainthood. This is the highest levels of wilayat. In the company of Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahimullah, people were asking him to make dua. So I took the opportunity and I said, Hazrat, make one dua for me. So he asked what? So I said, make dua, I never miss tahajjud. That's like a top thing, that whole life, to read tahajjud without missing. Make that dua for me. Hazrat Hakim Sahib went into like a wajd, into a unique feeling. And then he sat up, he was paralyzed, but he made himself sit. And he looked at us and he said, and when he would say it, like with feeling he said it, he said, Qasam on Allah, Qasam on Allah. For you to leave one sin is more valuable than 1,000 rakats of tahajjud. Qasam on Allah. Leave that sin. He never said, don't read tahajjud. He said, you're asking for dua for tahajjud. I'm telling you, do this for me and you go on. You are the saint of the era. Just by saying no. Just by saying no. Even if you burn in it. Even if you burn. Piety is not that my inside is clean. Piety is, oh Allah, what's in my control, I'm going to hold it. What's in my control, oh Allah, I'm not going to let it go. Why that boy masturbates? He says that the inside was too much. Why he did zina? He said the inside was too much. Let the inside be locked. Let us burn. Let it volcano. Let it erupt. Let it go. But as I burn, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا Worlds will open up. Generations will change. Everything will happen. Learn to burn for Allah. A time will come where you will enjoy the burning so much. That there was people of the past who would say, oh Allah, where other people are asking to come out of the fire, I'm asking you to keep me in the fire. Because in the fire I found the garden of Ibrahim alayhi salam. I don't want out of this fire. In this burn you will find such enjoyment because Allah promised, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ That Allah has promised His close proximity with that one who's burning. You will find such enjoyment in this burn that there were those awliya who said, oh Allah, do not take away that inside feelings from me. Because if it goes, I feel that you will also go. That's very high stuff. For me and you is just hold. Hold and hold. In this we die. You will stand up as a martyr in front of Allah. Allah Tabarakallah bless me with internal and external purity. Bless all of you all. May Allah Tabarakallah create an environment of purity around us and within us. Keep us always in a circle that no matter what the call of shaitan is, there is something that just says no and I pull back.